we're on.
And we're back!
Oh my God.
Dave's Mom Podcast!
So we were having a short discussion, Father Stephen and I, just
Happy
before.
Feast of Maria Goretti, which is when this is also dropping, right?
Yeah, it's going to drop tonight, too.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, yeah, here's the thing, right? I love St. Maria Goretti. In case you didn't know that
already. We're jumping right in. That's Father Dan Cale. I'm Father Stephen Felicia.
Yeah,
and he loves...
Turn your mic toward you.
What? Can they not hear me?
Well,
can they not hear me?
Can only
they hear me
half
now?
Of you. There you
only
go.
Hear half of me.
Yeah, that's right. Which might be good.
Inside of you, there are two wolves. We'll leave it at that.
So before we started recording, I was talking to Father Stephen about something that happened with me today. And unfortunately, it didn't pan out, but it's sort of a fun story. It's just interesting. I mean, whatever.
Feast day of Maria Goretti, and somebody called you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, it's funny because you're sitting there telling me about how you're shouting me out in your homily.
Oh, yeah. I shouted Padre out here in my homily this morning on the Feast of Maria Goretti. I made mention of how... We oftentimes sit in the presence of the first class relic of St. Maria Goretti, and as we're doing actually right now, as we begin this podcast,
she's here on the podcast table.
That's what we're calling it—the podcast table.
For right now, this is like sort of our ramshackle studio at the moment.
The Deus Vault table.
That's right.
That's better.
Anyway, so he's telling me about how hey, I called you out in there, or called you out, shouted you out.
Yeah, I called you out. Where are you, Dan? Come fight me.
Come and get me, Chino. Yeah. Okay,
tell the story.
That's a whole twist.
Anyway, tell the story.
A West Side Story? Anyway, so anyway, he's telling me about that. And I'm like, oh, well, someone else actually also sort of shouted me out in a certain sense today as in relation to my devotion to St. Maria Goretti.
Mm-hmm.
And... it is none other than our friend from seminary, our classmate, Father Stefan Yap, who is a very faithful and good and holy priest. You better be, Stefan.
Of the diocese, the archdiocese.
Of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we're calling you out.
That's
on
right.
Deus Vault Podcast. Shout out. Excuse me.
Yeah. Thanks, Stefan.
calling you out.
Anyway, he's a good guy.
He's great.
But here's the thing. So he's got this connection with I guess, some producer in EWTN. You know, it's just, I find it kind of funny because we're in this, a little bit of a Catholic media world now with this very, very up and coming successful podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Not well. Thank you, listeners.
Oh yeah. No, thanks to the listeners.
So anyway,
you did this to us.
It has actually nothing to do with the podcast, but
yeah, thank God.
Yeah, I know. Although I would have been in Catholic media world again had I followed through with this. But anyway, so he was like, "Hey, I'll put you in contact with." Well, they wanted to do sort of a spotlight today on St. Maria Goretti for this show. I think it was like news, nightly news, or whatever it is.
Oh, wow.
Whatever EWTN's. Yeah,
cool.
They were going to show it tonight, so they were going to Skype me to. Interview me, or rather they were going to Skype him, and then he said, you know who you should really talk to about this is Father Dan Cale.
That's so cool.
And they got him in touch with me, and we tried to work it out, but it wasn't going to work for timing. So anyway, but I told the person who like schedules speakers for their show, hey, I do love Maria Goretti, but I just need to know more than an hour and a half ahead of time.
Right.
So hopefully, maybe next year. Maybe next year you'll be able to tune in on EWTN and find me.
If it pleases God.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sort of fun. It's cool to be able to...
Oh, no. What are you doing? Do you do anything special today? I mean, honestly, you could.
I mean, apart from... It's beautiful to be able to celebrate Mass on the feast days of your favorite saints.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, this is... Yeah.
Righteous. Shout out to Father Dennis Di Benedetto.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, calling you out.
That's right. For his quotations of Finding Nemo.
The turtles. But the...
Name's Crush. Anyway.
He does actually a really good impression of that one.
Yeah, he does. Anyways. Anyway, so that didn't work out. But you know what? As far as other things today, I am going to go with our friends... Parker and Maria Zerba, and Peep, as they call her, their in utero child, because they
Peep,
that's what she calls it. Maria calls it Peep because they don't know the gender. they chose not to know until the day.
Well, did they even pick out names?
I think they did, and they've sworn me to secrecy.
Oh, they told you?
Yeah, they did. Hey, you're not going to dinner with me tonight.
No, that's true.
here we go. Enjoy. So I'm going to go to dinner with them. It was sort of impromptu. I'm like, hey, let's go to dinner. Maria Goretti. They're like, sounds great. Let's go.
Is she named after that Goretti? Or is it like the Blessed Mother Maria?
I think it's probably, I choose all. Oh. St. Teresa of Lisieux, I choose all.
Excellent retort, brother. Well played. Very Catholic.
Yeah, that's right.
How was your 4th of July?
4th of July was great. I went home and I enjoyed some time with my mom and dad, brothers, sister-in-law, probably soon to be sister-in-law, calling you out, Paige.
Whoa.
She's great. She's allowed to be.
Yeah, man. But that's... Anyway, listen to this.
And my grandparents. It's fine. They
it's
know.
Fine. We're fine here.
She's been enough with around our family to know.
Okay, like, that we just automatically assume that the women the boys bring home will be their wives.
Listen, I'm just saying, as the future brother-in-law, I wouldn't mind it. She's great.
I thought you were talking about Karina. Jeez.
Oh, no. Karina's already in. Yeah, I don't care about Karina anymore.
Yeah, no, she's stuck.
Yeah, that's right. She's got Josh to deal with now.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so anyway, just family. My grandma and grandpa were over. And and then in the evening, I went over to the Stumps.
I saw you there.
I was with you there for hot dogs and explosives.
That went on for a minute.
Jeez. Not at the same time.
No.
Hot dogs and explosives.
Bad mix, hot dogs and explosives. There's like a joke about the assassination of Fidel Castro in there somewhere, but I'm not going to go. Anyway.
What?
Okay, so like from a historical perspective, like the CIA tried numerous times to assassinate Fidel Castro. If anyone remembers, he used to be the dictator of Cuba.
Right.
And anyways, it never... One of the threats was supposedly one of the plans they used was exploding cigars because Fidel liked to smoke.
Oh.
Never actually came to fruition.
I see.
Anyways, neither here nor there.
Didn't they make fun of that in like Looney Tunes and stuff like that?
Well, that was like the old gag. Looney Tunes was before, but the CIA stole the idea.
I've got a great idea. Bugs Bunny inspired me.
Okay, get this, guys. One of the rules of strategy is honestly, you should have people on your team who have a sense of humor. Because,
surprise.
Well, it works along those lines. If you don't understand the joke, don't let them near the plans because they won't understand how the deception is actually transpiring. Mm. We'll stop talking about like counterinsurgency for now.
This has been a very, very interesting series of banters.
This has been another interesting series of banters in the Deus Vult podcast. Okay.
How are we going to transition to whatever we're talking about today?
I honestly don't know. You want to just jump right in, or are you done with the banter?
My first Sunday homily at the parish this weekend.
It was nothing but banter.
No, I mean, basically, it was like banter, then podcast. But by that, I mean to say, I like introduced myself to the good people of St. Charles.
Oh, yeah, you've been a priest for like four weeks already.
Yeah,
And this is like the first time you've met the people.
Well, I was at Steubenville the previous weekend. Okay. I was just away.
My nieces, when I saw them on the 4th of July, because they're parishioners here. I think my oldest niece is like 6. I'm a terrible uncle. I don't know how old my nieces are, okay. But they're young. They're little kids. I don't need to know this yet. They'll tell me. Mm. But the 6 and a half. Who's counting? She said, there was a new priest there. I said, did he have a beard? She said, yes. And I said, does he not have a lot of hair on his head? She said, yes. I said, that's Father Dan. He's a good friend of mine.
There you go.
And then she hugged me for a while. It was good.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Looking forward to that someday. Mm-hmm. It'd be great. Anyway, so I basically was like, hi, I'm Father Kale. How do you like me so far?
Oh, I've ruined everything.
Yeah, exactly. But then I was just basically like, and I'm not going to lie, there's no good transition to the homily, so I'm just going to start.
Wow, man, that was...
Oh, and they laughed. It was great.
Oh, good. Praise God. That could have gone horribly wrong.
Oh, no. No, it's good.
No, it's good. It couldn't have gone wrong. Yeah, I don't see any way that could have happened.
Yeah.
Good.
There's plenty of ways it could have
happened. No, they welcomed you in with open arms. On the 4th of July, actually, that's a great, great first Sunday. Not going to lie.
Yep.
Oh.
It's pretty good. I preached on the virtue of piety, according to St. Thomas Aquinas.
Ah, very good. Love of homeland, love of country. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yep.
No. Well.
So, yeah, how are we going to do this?
Thomas Aquinas.
Okay.
Was a very... He almost certainly did... he had a spiritual director, didn't he?
I'm sure he did.
Oh, yeah. No, I bet
as a religious.
Wasn't it like Albert? Saint Albert the Great?
Albertus Magnus.
Yeah. I could be wrong. I mean, maybe they were just really good friends, and he was like his professor, but I'm positive he had like a mentor aspect.
I think he's in the picture. Let me see.
What? there was a photo taken of Thomas Aquinas at his graduation, and you can see it.
Yeah, not a photograph.
St. Albert's in it.
I have on my wall here in my
1216.
Very early photography technology.
Very basic.
Very basic.
Basically, the guy would look at it, try and hold it, the idea in his head, and then sketch it out.
Yeah. Not so much photography.
Not photography at all. That's called drawing. No.
The Dominicans just turned 800 years old, like 4 years ago.
Happy birthday.
And they had a big celebration at St. Patrick's Oratory in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure St. Patrick's. Yeah, St. Patrick's. But anyway, so I went to this gala for the new the Jubilee year, that the 800th anniversary of their existence, and I bought a very, very nice print of all the sort of very well known Dominican saints.
Right.
They're all gathered around Our Lady and the Christ Child.
But I'm
pretty sure
Aquinas.
Albertus Magnus is.
Albert
Dominican.
Should be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, anyway, but I'm I think you're right though. I think that is his.
But I bet
his director.
At the very least, he was his mentor. But
right.
But I meant to talk to you about. Excuse me about. Spiritual direction.
Oh, nice.
And
I had
like
spiritual direction
the place. What?
I had spiritual direction today.
I had it today too.
Nice.
Isn't that rocking good?
It's good.
Like, see, that's how I know God wanted us to talk about this today. And I was literally like, because you know me, Dan, there's so little planning going on up here. And I was literally getting out of spiritual direction. I was like, what should we talk about? And I knelt down before the tabernacle and God was like, talk about spiritual direction. So okay.
Mm.
The
okay, interesting.
And I know, right?
How many times have you been asked to become a spiritual director?
I haven't kept count.
Right.
Maybe 6 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, you?
A good handful. Yeah, me too. Even as a deacon, like even before I was a priest.
Right. And that's very flattering. Holy smokes. Very kind of you all, people. But trust me, you don't want me as a spiritual director just yet.
No.
If ever.
Fair enough.
Listen to this podcast. What do you think you're going
to
get?
I mean, it's something you need to have like legitimate spiritual training in to do. So,
right.
I mean, it's kind of... Yeah.
Well, so anyway.
As well as priestly experience.
Well,
yeah.
Like, a ton of priestly experience, to be fair. And again, right. Like I've talked to my... who is it? Violi made this point to me. He says, you really need, he said, 5 years of priestly experience before you would... think about attempting. Now, that doesn't mean I can't counsel you or anything like that.
Right.
And oftentimes I do that for people. Again,
that's usually what I tell people. Like, I'm happy to meet to do some counseling and give some advice. I'm not a dullard.
Guidance and prayer. But
yeah.
In general.
I'm not going to be like your director and meet with you every 2 weeks or month or something.
Right.
You know?
Which is, and this is sort of like the tragedy. So let's just start. How would you define like spiritual direction? Could you give me like a definition?
Well, I mean, a person has a spiritual director. The spiritual director has conversation with you, prays with you, in the context of direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So you are together. It's just the two of you. It's very kind of internal forum. By that, I mean to say it's very confidential.
Oh, yeah. No, it's next to the seal of confession.
Right.
And you speak, whatever you say stays completely in the confines of that conversation or whatever you want, whatever was going on, prayer, whatever it was.
So it's basically a matter of the spiritual director will certainly assist, whatever person is being directed in the spiritual life, help them to discern well what is going on in their prayer. To be able to focus on prayer well, to grow in the in the various ways of prayer, so like the illuminative, the unitive, the all those sort of things, right?
Mm-hmm. The vocal.
So yeah. Right, exactly. And just sort of understand how to cross that terrain, basically, in the spiritual life, and so.
Yeah, I mean, there's something going on.
There's a counselor kind of thing that they've got going on with it, too. It's kind of a mix of all these things at once, which, I mean, would you say? I mean, what else would you add to that?
Well, I would say that, so when I first, so you were much more prepped as a young man than I was as far as, like, spiritual growth. You don't know this, but it's true. Let me just spell it out for you.
Fair enough.
Because, like, somebody told me, well, you know, you'll need a spiritual director. And oh, well, the spiritual director will help you with that whenever I asked a question. I said, what is a spiritual director?
Hmm.
And so I literally threw myself into it. And I want to start with this, brothers and sisters, is, like, and I think I might have said this on the podcast already once, but for the sake of this episode, I'll say it again. Like, a human being is as deep as the universe is wide. And, like, that doesn't mean you're infinite.
Yeah.
Because the universe isn't, although it seems to be still expanding. But
although they do say that, you know, when you, in a certain sense in the spiritual life, you turn inward to find God,
mm-hmm.
right?
And
not in, like, the Eastern religion sense of that.
right. But, you know. But our hearts are restless until we rest in thee. And I searched for thee, you know, in all these outwards things. And I'm trying to quote Augustine. I'm doing it poorly. Mm-hmm. But then I found you in my very heart. You were mm-hmm. always there. You're closer to me than I am to my very self. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Right there.
A human being is like super deep. And you're, for lack of a better word, complicated. And the it's not a bad thing.
Like a bad Facebook relation status.
It's not a bad thing that you're complicated, although parts of it might involve like sorrow and tragedy and things like that.
Yeah, traumas.
But traumas, yeah.
Yeah.
And but like that makes you also incredibly interesting. But setting that to the side, okay. Imagine now like you are going to be in charge of other people's spiritual well-being. Mm. And like there's all this stuff mixed up inside of you and inside of everybody else. Okay. So you've got to have your ducks pretty much in a row and yourself sorted out in understanding, first of all, the most intimate relationship you have with anyone. That is God. I just got done saying, you know, he's closer to you than you are to your very self. That's close. That's intimate.
you could say.
Yeah, you could say that's pretty close. So I guess you could say it was pretty close. But
I guess you could say things are getting pretty serious.
Yeah. And at that point in your life, yes.
Yeah.
And this is the interesting thing, brothers and sisters. That's the part everybody wants to ignore the most.
Yeah.
Most people want to concentrate on the two other, for lack of a better terms, intimate relationships, which are their family and politics. And in those relationships, we waste tons of time. And again, you say, well, I don't waste time on my family. Well, yes and no.
Well, it's just, it's misplaced.
I mean, it can be.
It's disoriented in a certain sense, mm-hmm. in the sense that it's not, it doesn't have the correct orientation.
Exactly.
It has to,
Most people who, when I say are wasting time on their family, are probably wasting time on like their job. Or they're like concerned for like, I don't know, what college their kid's going to get into. Right. Not that that's not necessarily important.
In the hierarchy of loves, right? Mm-hmm. Like what you give your love to shows what you really care for, right?
Yes.
So if family might still be in a very high place, but if it's the highest place, well, then you forgot one level of the hierarchy, namely the Lord.
Exactly.
Right? So.
So anyways, everything needs to be properly ordered in your life. Now, speaking from my own experience, I'm terrible at keeping things in order. And so I need that relatively constantly brought before me. Mm-hmm. And the old saying is a man who has himself as his own spiritual director has the devil as his spiritual director. What you want is to be able to unpack. And again, like principally, why do I go see a spiritual director? I go because I have a parish full of people that I'm concerned about. And I don't want to hurt them. And in fact, I want to give them every good grace and love that the Heavenly Father has in store for them. And that means I better have a good relationship with Dad. I better have a good relationship with the Father, with God. Mm-hmm. And so into that, I throw myself. And man, did I make a discovery when I first started spiritual direction? I made a bunch of discoveries.
Oh yeah.
And again, as you pointed out, there's this, it's very hard to like say, to articulate it as saying it's this, that, and the other. Because normally there is an element of like, you know, where are you today mm-hmm. that comes into this? And then from that, you can even go back and say, I really want to talk about this thing that happened in my life or that thing. But where you're trying to bring it back to. Again, why do I start there? Because I'm a material creature and I start with what's immediate. But what I'm trying to do is find God in whatever it is I've encountered, in whatever situation, or in whatever emotion I'm experiencing, or something that I've found revelatory in prayer. And then I turn it over to the spiritual director and see what he can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And he principally, I find, listens 75% of the time, maybe even 80% for my spiritual directors, have just sat there and listened to me for a long time. Now, again, the spiritual director probably has to handle each directee differently.
Sure.
And I can be quite verbose. You might have picked that up. But sorry, would you like to say something, Dan?
No, I'm just picking on you. I'm rather unverbose.
You can speak when you need to. You preach. Preach. But no, there it is. Is so you just sort of open it up. And I don't know. I changed dramatically when I began spiritual direction.
So did I.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my first spiritual direction happened, I did the college seminary thing, right?
Yeah.
And I had the benefit of, actually, speaking of Dominicans here, my spiritual director, my very first spiritual director was Father Mike Ciccone, Dominican priest, but he also had a background in psychology, which, mm-hmm. I mean, actually sort of was really helpful.
That's very interesting.
Wow. Yeah. It made him into a rather good spiritual director in a lot of ways. And there were some doors that were opened up immediately, like first meeting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, holy smokes, this whole world just got a lot bigger.
Wow.
You know,
that's a great experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was kind of one of those things where when I'm very young, I am, you know, dealing with, I mean, any manner of sin.
Yeah.
Right. And my only outlook on sin at that time was that I was bad for having done it.
Okay.
And that was one of the very first things that you ever learn in any spiritual direction. And this is driven home like over and over again at the Institute of Priestly Formation.
Oh, yeah.
Like IPF. All spiritual direction all the time, which is great. It was really, really, really good. It was very healthy.
We'll talk about IPF some other time, but it's this big program that we go off to in Nebraska for the summer as seminarians, and you basically get a vast amount of spiritual direction to help you develop. Go ahead.
Right, right. And teach you a method of prayer. Anyway, so, but like recognition of the place of the love of the Father for the Son and not, and talking about Son, lowercase s, me, like me as his Son, like he doesn't see you as the sin, as just merely the sinner who he has to save, and he has to tug along.
Oh, you, that like, disgusting thing again. Let me...
Right, exactly.
Right. Like, drag you up here.
What the real orientation here is the orientation of love, and the only reason he is even remotely concerned about the sin is because it's keeping you from him, like, and that he wants you to be with him because he completely loves you, right?
Wow.
And it was just like, oh, sonship. Like... Ah, I couldn't.
Eureka.
But like the very first time I couldn't take it.
Really?
Know? Yeah. Because it was, well, I mean, I had been stuck in this modus operandi for so long, and I had never been introduced like really to the spiritual life.
Wow.
In this sort of depth.
Sure.
Right. So, and like, yeah, he just opened up that door and he said, like, the Lord doesn't see you as, you know, Dan the sinner. Like, that's not your principal title, you know? Sees you as
here comes that sinner, Dan.
He sees Dan.
Dan, the son.
The son.
He sees his beloved child.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, and having that be, like, the starting point for every single time you go to prayer afterwards, like, this is my identity, right? And it goes, and you know, daughters too, right? So, yeah. But, like, that had never occurred to me. It had never been sort of developed or put to me that way. And so, it just, boof. Blue. Doors swung open.
That's, you know?
Crazy. And it's, you know, I mean, what is it? You know, the church fathers, the desert fathers always talk about like every single day is a new beginning in the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually, you know who, you know who knows this very well is that quarterback, the Catholic quarterback who played for the Chargers. Oh shoot! I'm gonna kick myself. My brother Josh is screaming at the speakers right now. It's in this guy, you idiot! Yeah, in the future.
Wait, what about it? What's he know?
Anyway, he's Catholic.
Okay,
he's a Catholic quarterback. But he got a he got a hat made that says "Nunc Chepi,"
which means
now I begin.
Nice.
Now I begin, and so just looking from the perspective of like failures are not just a punctuation, aren't a punctuation mark. Mm-hmm. Every single time you stand up and in the spiritual life, whatever. So he understood it from the spiritual life, but also just in life, right? Every single day is a new start. Like every single moment is another beginning to turn to the Lord again. So, yeah, like every single day, I consider myself a beginner in the world of spiritual
life. Oh, yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why, like, I always tell people who come to me, will you be my spiritual director? You don't want me to be your spiritual director. I'm a mess. Like, you know, and I am still so green at this whole thing.
That it
would be unhelpful.
Like, even with, know? I mean, how long were you in seminary? 8 years?
7 years.
7 years. And, like, you've been doing spiritual direction basically every month, would you say?
Yeah.
For those 8 years? Mm-hmm. 7 years? Excuse me.
Yep.
8 years. 7 years, sir. 7 years.
Holy hand grenade of Antioch.
Three questions. Five questions. Three questions, sir. Three questions. Anyways, but no, like, for that amount of time. And again, like, there is a tremendous amount of depth to each and every one of you. And mm-hmm. and that's why you want your priest to be one, have a great deal of experience. And to have, again, perhaps some significant even training in the event.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, I mean, my first experience of spiritual direction, I went to the what do they call it? The house spiritual director himself. I got with Diedrich.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. And I
he has this wonderful deep voice. And
Salve Regina.
Salve Regina. so hardcore.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways.
God bless
love him to death. He's a pastor out in Connecticut, is it?
Hartford. Hartford, yeah. Hartford, Connecticut.
While he was at the seminary. So I went in and he said, well, Stephen, you know, I looked at him. I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. I said, what am I supposed to do in here with you? And he said, well, just tell me about yourself. And so I literally, like, gave him my life story. And that was the first, that's probably about an hour mm-hmm. of just summarizing my life. And he looked at me and said, okay. And he said, that doesn't sound so bad. and I looked at him. I said, well, that's just the official version. I said, just wait till I tell you everything else. Yeah. And
the director's cut.
And then, that was well done.
Ta-da.
Nicely done. Anyway, I gave him the director's cut then the next session. And
the spiritual director's cut.
And so it's very... that was very raw is probably the best way to describe it.
Sure.
And there is a sort of aspect of confession that's going on.
Well, you just cut yourself open and showed your insides.
Well,
That's what that is.
Well, the funny thing was I didn't have to do much cutting. I was pretty open. I just had to lift up my shirt at that point.
Look there at this. It is.
Let it heal.
The heart is just barely beating.
Yeah. Look at that. Anyways. I just poured that out to him. And again, like he just sat there. And listen to me. And there is something incredible about even in confession, you pick that up. There's another human being who's literally listening to everything that I say. And again, without judgment, without anything, but I have to own this in the presence of another.
Yeah.
And I've made it as personal as a human being can make it. There's someone else here. Mm-hmm. And not saying that God isn't there, that the spirit isn't there, obviously. Obviously,
right,
or maybe not obviously, but it's and that's the problem,
right?
Like that's why God's like, no, you're going to do this to each other so mm-hmm. that you can help. Yeah. And so, like, I was, I wouldn't say I didn't like drench my clothes, but I was sweating.
Yeah,
by the end of that one, mm-hmm. And then the third, and I still. Like, here you are, Dan, saying, like, I made amazing, I wouldn't say, you know, like, now I was an expert in the spiritual life after my first session. But, like, you had all these doors blown open and
which
stuff.
Which mansion were you in at the end of that?
Right. But I was still into my third session. So, like, this is, like, week six or whatever.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, am I doing this right? He's just sitting there not saying anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is the spiritual director, for him to be any good at his job, needs to know the man who's in front of him.
Right. Exactly. Woman. And so I was just... like pouring it out. And then, and so after he'd gotten the official version, the unofficial version, and then I started like turning over the rocks that were in both of those versions saying, okay, so this is what I was feeling then. And this is what I was thinking then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this one time in prayer, this. And then like, it was really about the fourth time I sat down with, because again, like, I don't want to say like zero consolation. I knew something was happening. Like, okay, something has to happen when you're literally like, it's like disassembling a watch on a table. And I don't mean like a Timex that's digital. I mean like the ones with all the gears.
All the cogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was like what was going on in my life with this man. Was we had my life on the table as if it was a watch. And, you know, you open it up and you're like, wow, that looks pretty weird and complicated, kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And then you start just taking it apart. And like by the fourth session, we had like the watch disassembled on the table.
Wow.
And then we started to like put it back together. And that's when like the quote unquote doors really opened for me. And again, like it comes down to like beginning to understand yourself. You're exactly right. Your starting point is like your relationship with God. And seeing yourself, realizing that God sees you, because you truly are his adopted child. You're his.
Right.
He chose you.
I think one of the things that maybe gets in the way of people doing this well and entering into it well is because it seems from the outside and from a secular perspective to be super hokey. Like, we grew up hearing over and over again, you know, the words, God loves you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay,
you've said that so much, it's lost all meaning.
Right, exactly. What does that really actually mean? And well, in spiritual direction is supposed to reorient our minds to be able to hear that and go, wow. Like, that's actually amazing.
Like, what does that actually look like in me?
Right.
And
particular to me.
Particular to Dan Gales. Particular to Stephen Felicia.
Even this wretched sinner who I am, right? Okay, how can that be? Really, truly. You know, I thought it was just a gimmick. I thought that was a gimmick the church was telling me for my whole life, whatever. Right. And it's like, no, it's a real relationship.
It's so deep. And so anyway, so like that was my initial experience with it. And then you start getting into like the deepness of your prayer. Like you start getting into... So again, like the first thing is, like the spiritual director seems to be like just looking for you, trying to understand you and making sure you understand yourself in right relationship to God. And oftentimes, again, even today, I had to be put back in right relationship with God because like my whole perspective on how I was seeing things was outside of that lens. And suddenly he was like, no, hang on. Like just imagine like your father's holding you as a small child. I said, oh yeah. And like just immediately like catharsis, like just immediate like relief inside of that spiritual direction was palpable. And, but again, like again, here I've been doing this, I've been going to spiritual direction for 7 years myself now. And I needed that. Let's go back to like day 5 and restart from there.
Yep.
Okay.
Nunc chapi.
Right.
Now I begin.
And, but so once you've done that though, let's say you aren't having like one of those meetings, like you bring in like, what does it mean now to be a son of God, to be a daughter of God? Because I think Jessica Hayes herself goes to spiritual direction.
I imagine.
And so you go to your director and they'll let you start anywhere they want. Again, like he's on your schedule. And then and like I said, normally I start with like my day just so I have like solid footing underneath of me. But then I'll work it into like, this is what I encountered. This, and again, like this is, sounds hokey, but like sometimes you're like, I've encountered this image or whatever in prayer. Or, you know, I felt, so to speak, like the spirit in this moment. And again, his job isn't even necessarily to like affirm what you've experienced, or even not even necessarily to knock it either. It's just for him to like receive it and allow you to know that it's something that's real enough that another person can hold it. And again, like there's this brutal fragility in spiritual direction that again also speaks to why you would want a very good director. Because again, like, here, let me unwind how I encountered, you know, God the Spirit today. And again, his goal isn't to like be like, yeah, right on, maybe, but not normally. And nor is it to be like, well, are you sure you felt the Spirit?
Right.
Sure, yeah. It wasn't just indigestion. But it was but it's to simply like, and there it is. Like, imagine. Holy smokes, I would never see that man again. Like, okay, we're done talking, I guess.
Could be a bit of indigested beef.
Yeah, you know, it's more of gravy than a grave to you.
The sermon of spirits, so to speak.
But there it is like, you don't want a guy who's just like nonstop jokes, nothing is serious.
Right.
And you don't necessarily want a guy who's like just your cheerleader.
Right.
You want someone who can hold what you've given them without blowing it away or dropping it. Mm-hmm. And that's all you needed, was to see someone else with that in their hands. And it allows you to see it more clearly. Again, if it's just, you know, in me or just in my hands, I can't really see it as well as if I hand it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And again, like, sometimes it's as simple as him, and then they turn the object around. And you're like, there's this whole other side to it. And you're like, whoa, I did not see that. You're like, oh, yeah, no, the other side of this. Look at this. There's something written here. What?
Yeah.
And so you sort of like rest in this very deep and intimate reality. No, it's very interesting. So slight change of topic, but very much on this. Mm-hmm. And again, feel free to disagree with me, Dan. You know, I don't think there's enough spiritual advice given in confessionals. Speaking from my own personal experience, like there, and again, a confessional is not a place. At the end of spiritual direction, I normally make a confession. Mm. Normally, not always, but normally I do that because, one, it's good because normally my spiritual director is a priest. And then two, it's, you know, like,
you've just uncovered stuff.
I've just uncovered stuff.
Yeah.
And so even though I've got plenty of surface junk to take care of, like I'm trying to undo
the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. No, it's just covered in plastic and straws up the turtle's nose.
Island of sin plastic.
Yeah. Island of sin plastic. But now I'm really getting underneath where the toxic stuff is.
Oh, good.
And so like
cancer water. Great.
Yeah. So confession is always a part, not always, often a part.
And see, this is okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I want to provide what you've sort of asked there. It's tough. I've gone back and forth over and over again in my head about like, and my confession, I really haven't changed how much I've, you know, done, how I do confessions.
Okay, fine.
And it's also only been a month, so there's that. But, but talking to other priests about this, some priests are very adamant that like, nope, confessions are for sins and for absolution of those sins.
And then get them out.
And, you know, a signing of a penance.
Right.
And I'm like, to a degree, sort of like liturgically and by the ritual, yeah, that's what it's for. But I have a hard time believing that, and see then even...
No, talk it through.
Even now thinking through it, it's kind of like, yeah, but is that even really what I need to do? Giving advice to assist the person in the life of avoiding doing the thing that they say they're going to do at the end of the act of contrition, right? I resolve to sin no more. Okay. Well, if I don't know what I'm doing, then how the heck am I going to do that? Right. Mm-hmm. The priest better be good enough at advising. And that's the thing is some of the saints in the life of the church who have been the best confessors were the ones who gave the best advice. Mm-hmm. I mean, Philip Neri, Coeur d'Ars, like, come on. These guys gave good advice in the confessional. Now, right. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there was a certain level of artfulness that we don't have. And they were certainly graced in their ability to do certain things.
Oh, beyond any doubt.
But they gave advice. It wasn't just, mm-hmm. wasn't just for sins, plunk out a penance and get out of here. Like, right. It was
And there might be a time, more. Don't misunderstand, brothers and sisters. You come to me in the confessional, sometimes I'll just send you on your way. It just depends.
Right.
But,
well, yeah, I mean, I think one of my... my fastest confession ever, I went to one of our brother priests. I said, yada, yada, yada. He said, okay, the next hour of the liturgy of the hours, pray on your knees, make a good act of contrition. That was all he said. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that actually satisfies everything that I... Because most of the time, you know, we get to a point where we know what we need to do. Mm-hmm. It's not like the priest really needs to advise us in what we need to do.
Just depends, but yeah.
But yeah, it depends. If it's like, Father, I'm really stuck in this, give me some advice. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But...
And there it is. And so to tie it back to spiritual direction, like here's my take on it. I've been going myself to spiritual direction, as I said, for about 7 years. Like, what was the point of all that?
Right.
If like I can't learn from myself, from like this self-discovery involving God and this other, please God, you know, well-trained spiritual director,
right,
a wise man, and then I can't somehow translate that back. Soldiers in the army, again, like we teach via experience, like don't do it that way. You want to load it this way and angle it that way. That's how you're going to behave. Well, how do you know that? Well, because I've done it like a dozen times. You know, that's how I know that, kid. Come on, but there it is. Like, what was the point of my spiritual direction? It's not solely to get me to heaven, although please God, it helps. Right.
I think most things in spiritual direction are at the service of that.
Right. But it's also to be utilized for the benefit of others. True. Like anything in the spiritual life. There's no
not just your soul, but other souls.
Right. There's no spirit, no man is an island kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even the sins that you consider most private are somehow affecting the body of Christ. And likewise, even the prayers you consider most personal are likewise affecting the body of Christ.
Right.
And
positive and negative.
Exactly.
Take it all.
Exactly. And
it's a marriage, good times and bad.
And so we want to maximize the good. So when we have a penitent, if there's something that can be given them, you know, by the grace of God, we don't want to impede that because I've got to keep the line moving. Again, not to say that the line doesn't have to also keep moving, but it's one of those things. Like each one of these is a person, and maybe there's something here. And you just have to, like, what did I say about the spiritual director? The spiritual director is listening.
Yeah.
And he does that principally. The priest in the confessional is doing that. He's like a mini spiritual director. He's just listening. And sometimes, as I've said, spiritual director doesn't say anything.
Right.
Sometimes the priest just gives his penance. And then sometimes you hear something and you're saying, hang on, turn that around. There's something written here. What's that say on the other end of what you've just confessed or said? And,
right.
And that.
And I think there's a certain level. I mean, we need to remember like the work of grace, obviously, in all this. Because like within the context of a sacrament, there's extra graces being poured out.
Oh yeah.
You know. So yeah, actually one of the things I usually tell people who are like, I need a spiritual director. I'm like, no, you probably need a regular confessor.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's actually probably what you really need.
Right.
You know. And because there is a certain degree to which the counseling and the spiritual direction is going to happen within confession. But you probably just need to be regular, so to speak.
There it is. And like again, like that also again, I wonder if any other priests listen to this. But like that behooves us to do our job well. Like maybe they've had again a bad experience in the confessional. They've been known to happen.
Yeah.
And like so they feel tied very much in a knot and they're well, maybe I need something extra special. Maybe you just needed a priest who listened. And that's like the real trick.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many different times I've had people come to me and just tell me stuff that happened. And I give them what I think is kind of paltry advice. And they're like, I feel so much better. Thank you for talking to me, Father. I'm like, you're welcome.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
I hope the Holy Spirit did something with that.
You know?
And I'm sure he did, but... And it's just sort of funny. But what were you going to ask?
Oh, no. Who do you think needs a spiritual director? Like, who should have one?
Consecrated people. Okay. Most certainly consecrated people should.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because of their role in their place in the church, especially in leading other souls to God.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely need to be able to be on top of their own spiritual lives. But I don't think it's limited to that. I think it's a matter of... What I usually tell people, the general layperson who comes by saying, I need a spiritual director, I'm like, you probably need to be spiritually directed on occasion for certain things.
Hmm.
I don't know.
No, I don't disagree. I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
That.
And this is
like,
all,
you're probably correct.
This is all hypothesis, too.
Well, I know.
But like,
Month one of priesthood.
What's that?
Said it's month one of priesthood.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I'm still totally green at everything here. So, and maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe everybody needs a spiritual director. but I mean, I usually just say, like, I don't think most lay people, like, they don't need to be so, like, there's a difference between having a vocation to the contemplative life, mm-hmm. to which consecrated persons share in different degrees, and to be a lay person just needing to strive in the life of virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a certain level of prayer and devotion that needs to come with that, but I personally feel that, and this, again, based on almost nothing, right, that I think they just need, they need help. They need a regular confessor every now and then to help them grow in the life of virtue,
mm-hmm.
to say their prayers well, to attend Mass, and to know that grace is working in them.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be pretty simple. Right. It can stay simple with them.
Like my take on it, this is me too. Again, like this is not Neil Opstat by any stretch. The my take on it is like there.
Don't worry, I know our censor Librorum. I doubt he listens.
Oh man, he doesn't listen to us. Are you kidding me? Heck, he's got better things to do with his time.
He's like translating, you know. I don't know, something from the French.
God bless him. Yeah, something from the French. Whatever that is. Surely it's important if it's from the French.
Yeah.
But the
it's that one priest he likes.
I don't know.
He's a Frenchman. Yep. I can't remember. We're talking about. Let's just shout him out. Monsignor Michael Hines.
Monsignor Michael Hines, the man, the myth, the legend.
That's true. Anyway, okay, sorry, we're back.
No,
who was incidentally my spiritual director in seminary. So,
was he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
No. So the I think, and this is again just me, year one. I think like there are occasions when you could take just an ordinary lay folk who's like, Father, I need spiritual direction. And I think you could do something like what I just described,
mm-hmm.
from my initial, my own initial experience,
right.
with spiritual direction, oh, which sure. was, okay, we're going to just disassemble you for like, four sessions in a row.
Right.
Maybe five.
Yeah. And you just do it for a time, maybe.
Right. For like a time.
Yeah.
And then maybe check in every once in a while.
Right.
And it just depends.
Right.
But on the whole, like, I don't think everyone needs that. And as you pointed out, I think you actually did an excellent job as a baby priest pointing out what everybody needs.
They need a
real confession on a regular basis. And then every once in a while, maybe sit down for just a counseling session. And then like for a deeper spiritual introspective or something like that, I think you could take somebody and just take them for four or five sessions and be like, yes, yes, yes. No, yeah. no, yes, and then done.
And I mean, this is the caveat on this whole conversation, really.
Yeah.
I mean, we may get, 10 years into priesthood and go, nope. Everyone needs to go to spiritual direction much more often or something like
that. It's just,
I mean, we're only dealing with what we've, the experience that we've got, which mm-hmm. is not very much.
And
So,
this is the other interesting thing, too, is that, yeah, everyone is capable of deep, deep spirituality, brothers and sisters. Like,
yeah.
like in, as I said, you're as deep as the universe is wide. Like, inside of you is like the potential for a saint.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, God would not have made you. Please, God, we will help you become saints. And that means that in your life, you can have and should have deep spiritual experiences.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be happy being like, oh, yeah, no, I've made it to – I'm 100 years old and right. I've never – had any consolation?
Well, consolations will come, and so will desolations. But I think more should be said to, like, if you've never meditated on Scripture your entire Christian life,
mm-hmm.
if you've never gotten to the point of it, you're actually contemplating.
Right, contemplative prayer. It's not something that's just reserved for the holiest of holies. You know, only right. Saint Teresa of Avila, does that. But no, she actually wrote her books so that everyone could do that.
Right, the writings of the masters. I mean, these. They're in place so that every Christian can come to know the Lord in that depth of contemplative life.
Speaking of Thomas Aquinas, he wrote the Summa as a basic theological text.
Yep.
For the average person.
Yep.
Yep.
The reading level has changed a little bit in our current society.
A little, but yeah. but like there it
Summa
was.
Theologiae means a summary of theology.
Anyways.
So we study it at the master's level. Nowadays, so
do we? Anyways,
yeah, we do.
I know we do.
You were in that class with me.
I was. That was fun. So, that was hardcore.
Dr. Love.
don't
Don't do that.
Don't
to
do
him.
That. Okay. Anyway,
John D. Love. His name is literally Dr. Love. Though.
It's really funny. We thought it was funny.
I thought it was great
on several different levels.
Yeah.
Anyways,
he taught the Summa class. That's all. I'm getting
super
at.
Brilliant man. Yeah. Holy smokes! Yeah. Shout out. To
oh,
Dr.
then they
Love.
What did they do? They brought him over to Blackfriars so he could teach over there in England.
Oh, did
he
they?
Could teach Dominicans about St. Thomas Aquinas?
That's a pretty decent compliment.
Yeah, it is.
So he knows what he's talking about.
He does.
But the But no, like everyone is capable of consolation. Everyone is capable of deep, deep contemplative prayer.
Yeah.
And we want you to get there. So again, like I withhold judgment on like forbidding spiritual direction to everyone. But at the same time, again, this is the Day as Well podcast, all that standing I have. But no, like if you have something on your heart, you know, just go find a priest to at least listen to you once.
And, yeah, certainly.
I mean, and certainly have time for that.
Right. That's the thing is like, make sure, I would say first and foremost, make sure you know what it is to make a good confession.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are resources out there. I'm sure Ignatius Press has stuff. I've seen different things which teach about how to make a good confession. Like
right.
You can go and you can find those things,
mm-hmm.
or you can talk to your priest and try to get more and more insights as you go, mm-hmm. to try to make a good confession, because that's going to be one of the first steps, you know, and just realizing that like the priest isn't there to, you know, cast you into the outer darkness for whatever sin you've created, you know, brought
quite
to him.
The opposite, actually.
Yeah. We're like, just tell us everything. I don't care what it is. Just tell me, mm-hmm. because it's about cleaning you up. Let's mm-hmm. keep moving. I want mm-hmm. you to strive and I want you to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I want you to know your father and
and so that'll be the first step. And then after that, once you get to a point where you are comfortable telling about everything, then ask a priest to be like, can I meet you to be counseled about something in particular that I can't figure out for myself?
Yeah.
You know, and if he's a good priest, he'll say yes, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Schedule permitting, but yes.
Well, I mean,
yeah. But, and like, that's the other side of it too, is we spent a lot of time talking about like confession and like, you know, the things that we deal with are generally like problems, because those are the things that need dealt with. But there's so much of spiritual direction that's honest to God, like rejoicing. And like celebrating like the gifts God gives you.
It's true.
And like just being like,
yeah. I wonder how much of this is based in like a sort of Western workaholism. We want to solve all the problems. We want to solve all the problems, and our parties aren't proper rejoicing.
No, you know? Yeah, but Dad just wants you to just relax, kid.
Yeah.
And like, what did you see today that I gave you, kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes in spiritual direction, there is that like that great rejoicing of like the experience of of deepness of Trinity, of God, and that honestly, again, I wouldn't say those are like the most productive ones, but those are my favorite ones. My favorite moments of spiritual direction, are in that sort of like, I know who I am, and in this moment, I had a great, great sense of it and a great place of it.
Productivity matters not at all in the heavenly kingdom. I mean, what is it that they say about contemplation? It's about wasting time with God?
Yeah. Like, no, that's
good.
Prayer.
Waste all of it.
Prayer is waste all the time.
Right.
But it's truly that. It's God wants you to rest in Him. And again, like that's part of what I really think that's the greatest benefit of spiritual direction.
Yeah.
Is finding that rest and then being able to take it out of that room after your spiritual. Yeah. Like a spiritual director is so, so intimate, so familiar, and yet so like not even there almost.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and he's just the instrument.
Yeah. I think it's important to wrap up pretty soon here.
Oh yeah, sorry. How long have we been talking?
But no, shoot. I want to provide something there.
Yeah.
Like
what?
When Saint Maria Goretti.
This is good.
When Saint Maria Goretti was old enough, or rather, even before she was old enough, she desired to receive Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
And after talking to her family after talking to the priest, she was permitted to early receive Holy Communion.
Yeah.
That childlike faith that was in that place is the proper sort of childlike faith that we should all... being adults, we are very, very easily, you know, ignorant of the proper place that we have in relationship to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual direction helps us to realize that relationship again.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual direction helps us to enter into, once again, that childlike nature of just desiring to be with Jesus. And and even if it be, you know, preparing us just for death. Maria Goretti didn't have the chance or
she didn't have a spiritual director.
Well, she didn't, but she also didn't need one. She was in that place. So, in a certain sense, what a wonderful time to go to the Lord. I mean, of course, she was taken before her time. But
now she can be with us for all time.
Right. And she's with the Father for all time.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of time. But that's something maybe we can turn to. St. Maria Goretti today, childlike faith in which, you know, she was even able to face martyrdom from a desire not to fall into sinfulness. Or not even to let her attacker fall into sinfulness. So, St. Maria Goretti, pray for us.
Pray for us.
And servant of God, Alessandro Serinelli, her killer.
Ora pro nobis.
Pray for us, indeed. That's it.
Ooh, well,
there's your homily in a minute for the end.
Not bad.
But
all right, we'll call it there.
Sounds good.
This is the Deus Vult podcast. I'm Father Stephen Felicia.
I'm Father Daniel Kale. And as usual, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook and send us emails. It's been a joy. And continue to pray for us as we pray for you.
God bless you, people, truly.
And Deus Vult.
Deus Vult.